time to talk about the road ahead. What's ahead, not just for the nomad, but perhaps for everybody, maybe. And it's been a while since I've done a freewheeling Easy Talker podcast just off the top of my head. Every now and then I got to do those. And I thought, well, it's a good time to do that. It's the end of January. I'm getting a little antsy, trying to figure out where I'm going to go next, what I'm going to do next. We can talk about that from the nomad perspective, but also talk about what is going on, what is really going on. What are those cycles that we're talking about, or I've been talking about? So the road ahead in podcast 1038, 1038, the Bob Davis podcasts. Boy, you know, every now and then I got to go through the whole list of where the podcast is available. And I want to start with podcast aggregating apps. So the one I'm familiar with, I don't even know if it's still around, Podbean. And I'm not recommending any of them. I just know Overcast. I know there's a bunch of these because I see them on my analytics. Audible, Alexa, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many, many more. But what I really want people to do if they want to help the podcast is subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and subscribe. Especially if you have an iPhone, you can use the podcast app to subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe on Spotify, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't bother me, but it really helps if you subscribe to the podcast directly on iTunes. And I appreciate all of your interest in the Bob Davis podcast, and I appreciate your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Let's talk exercise. It's getting warmer, but it's not quite there for yoga. And there's a lot of people working at home, and it's not quite there for exercise. They're working in teams and offices, and it's not quite there for exercise. If this is you, let me introduce you to BUEnterprises.com. Juliet at BU has put together a toolbox for people, and you can do it on Zoom by yourself. Your whole team can do it. They have corporate rates. They have discount rates for the Bob Davis podcast. Just enter Bob. You can do a trial. There's all kinds of things that allow you to be you, to be free, to be happy. There are exercises you can do inside a vehicle at home. I've done it with Juliet, and it works great. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more information. BUEnterprises.com. Well, first of all, you get used to sitting in one place. I'm surprised. You know, when I was at my mom's house sitting last year at this time, dealing with her death, that was difficult for obvious reasons. And I've talked to other people that went through the same thing last year. There's a lot of this going on in the country. People have to either take care of their parents or they end up having to take care of the situation after they have passed away for whatever reason. A lot of that going on in our country. And so that's a thing. But I have had a wonderful time sitting here since, I think it was early November, like mid-November when I got here. And I'm kind of on the DL about that because we're not really supposed to stay in a place for a long period of time on BLM. You're limited to something like 14 or 15 days, and I'm not going to say where I am, because there's other people that are just hanging here. But the general rule of thumb is if you're not causing problems, then you're pretty much left alone. It's only if you cause problems or if problems develop and rangers have to come and things have to happen, then they start looking around and they might say, okay, you got to go. And you just go somewhere else. It's not like you're in trouble or anything. It's just time to go. And I'm feeling like it is time to go anyway. Now, again, there hasn't been any you have to go or anything like that where I am because it's relatively sparsely populated anyway. And there's a lot of dispersed camping down the road anyway. So I'm not having to move, but I think I want to. There's a couple things going on that I've said, boy, that would be fun to go to. So down here in Quartzsite or thereabouts, Parker Quartzsite, I think it's called Ehrenberg. I don't know. There's a bunch of these places. Baus. And then campgrounds down 95 towards Yuma, and just over into California in the Riverside area, and then also, if you want to, on up north to Death Valley, and there's tons of places. There's a lot of people here, and there's one of the things people are doing is having these rallies. So it's the rally of school buses, or it's the rally of, you know, Airstream trailers, or it's the rally of whatever. And those are kind of neat, and I think I might want to check that. There's actually a schoolie rally I think I might want to go to, because that's kind of a fun group. But as I look at the road ahead, of course, and I'm in a great mood, I can't help but look at the things going on. And I'll tell you what I've been watching. People are like, what are you watching on YouTube? Well, I don't watch anything about RVs. I think that's pretty... I think that's pretty clear. I don't watch very much stuff about RVing or nomading, generally speaking. What I've been watching are various financial guys on YouTube disagreeing and agreeing on things like inflation, deflation, stock market crashes, bubble bursts, things of that nature. I find that fascinating. And the day I'm recording this is the day of a 1,000-point drop and something like a recovery. We'll see what happens going forward. But all of this, if you follow finance, is tied to the Federal Reserve having to do something about inflation. One of the reasons that I ended up here and decided to stay is that I'm on the steps of California, and back in November, fuel was $6.99 for diesel 2 or more in California, and I just said, I'm not paying that. It was bad enough here. It was something like, at one point, it was I want to say it was like $4.60 or $4.80, and now it's down to $4.13, and then if you go to different places, it's a $3.90 or $3.70. If you go on the reservations a lot of times, and we're talking about diesel too, I'm not talking about gasoline, because real trucks don't use spark plugs, as you know. Anyway, and then of course across the country, depending on the state, there's, you know, you can see diesel too at $3.48, $3.40, $3.70, and now we're back into reasonable territory of what it was back in 2015. 2016 and 2014, when I was driving around the country covering primaries. Now, in 2020, we had a really great period because fuel was very cheap. And so all through 2020, it started to kind of increase. And then 21, it really started to increase until we finally got where we are today. So I decided to stop because I was not going to pay that high price of fuel. The other reason I stopped was because I found myself just running pell-mell across the country. And just anything was good enough for me to go to some other location. And, you know, I was covering a lot of ground needlessly. So I thought, maybe what you need to do is just to stop. And I've talked about what I found when I stopped, and that is I found a community. So I'm really glad I did this because I'm learning a lot about the community. And I do believe that depending on where you go, you're going to get a different group of people. And, you know, so the community is going to differ. And I'm pretty excited about now that I've trained myself to just not be in a hurry by basically breaking myself of the habit by staying in one place long enough, then being able to do that in the future, I'm really excited about. And that's a new wrinkle, and it's actually a great mission for 2022. Now, what I want to talk about in the second half of this podcast briefly, and I'm just going to put it out there just kind of as a, you know, an idea for people to think about, especially if you're back in the world, you're deluged with all kinds of data and information about your own locality, your own state, and if you watch the news or if you pay any attention to the news, the rest of the country and the rest of the world by extension. And I've often talked about how out here, that usually does not reflect our lives. This is your, and when I say you, I mean everybody. We are relatively insulated. I just had a conversation with my friend Pam of the Pambulance a couple minutes ago, talking about the markets today. And she's like, well, what do you think that it means? And one of the things that I thought, and I do still think that I think we're actually looking at a recession coming, and I think we're looking at a fair amount of disinflation, if not outright deflation, particularly in these areas that we've seen this incredible increase in prices. One of the things that the Federal Reserve has to do is to try to control inflation, or I guarantee you, and this is as political as it's going to get, people are going to be turned out of office, regardless of party, in droves, if they don't address the inflation situation. Now, presidents and congressmen and presidents can do something about fiscal stimulus, and they are having that argument in Washington. But the Federal Reserve is the one that has to decide what they can do about inflation in general, because they created it to begin with. It was created in two ways. One, with fiscal stimulus, meaning all the things that were done during the pandemic to sort of keep the economy running, keep the engine running, because we were all going to return to work when it was over, and it was just going to be a quick thing, and then it was going to be over with. And that hasn't happened. So the Federal Reserve has to do something to address inflation. I'll be surprised if they don't at least commit themselves to an interest rate this Tuesday, Wednesday, when they decide to meet. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised really to see them. It would be, I'm not going to say I would be shocked if they raised interest rates by 50 basis points, which is going to be the shot heard around the world. It has been said by other people that if you want to fight inflation, you've got to send a strong signal. You've got to do something really significant to knock these people out of their dream. And now what's happening in the market looks like the fear of missing out is just sucking everyone in. Like the blackjack player that does really well, and rather than get up from the table when the house starts to win, he continues to double down and loses all his money. That's kind of what's happening, in my view, in the stock market right now. And by extension, if they raise interest rates, then you're going to deal with the possibility of the same thing happening in the housing market. And if the economic numbers aren't good, then you're going to start hearing talk about recession. And as far as how that affects nomads, you know, what we don't like is inflation, because we don't pay rent. What we have to do is pay for fuel and food. So if we're exposed to inflation only in those two areas, and those are the two areas aside from rent, so the rent is something like 1/3 of the inflation right now. So rents have been just skyrocketing, and fortunately and thankfully, by making the decision to hit the road, we don't have to deal with that because we don't pay rent. I mean, that's what free camping is all about. You keep your money. But we still have to go to the store, and we still have to buy food, and we still have to buy fuel every now and then. You know, I obviously really cut back my exposure to fuel because I'm just sitting in one spot. And if I go anywhere, as far as, and we'll talk about this in the second half of the podcast, if I go anywhere, it's going to be right around this general area or down to Yuma. I mean, I'm not going to drive, you know, empty five tanks of fuel to go somewhere. If I want to go to LA, it's, you know, 190 miles or 200 miles or whatever from here. So that's okay. That's, you know, half a tank of gas or maybe a little bit more. We're good. So I'm going to basically plan on moving around this general area and maybe finding some different places to camp. And I'm waiting for two things. One, I'm waiting for the RV show. It's just starting. I'm going to go down there this weekend. So once I go to the RV show, then it's about, well, okay, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? Who do I want to go with? Do I want to go in a caravan, or do I want to go by myself? Or, you know, that's going to be the decision to make. But actually, what's more interesting to me right now is this question of inflation, deflation, disinflation, and what's going on with the economy. And we'll talk about that. And by extension, The social implications, we'll talk about it in the second half of this podcast. Hey, shout out to the guys at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station at 36th Avenue South and Lindale Avenue South in South Minneapolis in the Lynn Lake neighborhood. They've been there for years. They have some great, I saw that they put this on their Instagram feed, which is great. They actually have empanadas there. And I mean, it's a pretty high quality empanada. And I was like, oh my God, empanadas are so good. And so they have all kinds of great stuff in that store, locally sourced products. And of course, as an independent refueling station, they get a better deal on fuel. They pass it on to customers. And that is so important these days. And that is why they're always busy. Check them out online at 36lynn.com. Check them out on Instagram at 36lynn. Or just go there and say hello. Buy yourself a candy bar and a cup of coffee. Fill up your tank and get on your way. 36 Lynn. Click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or visit them online at 36lyn.com. Why do you have to bring this up, Bob Davis? You know, why? What happened to the travel vibe and everything else? You know, I bring it up because I'm interested in it and I think it's really interesting. But I think it's also interesting because almost everybody you talk to out here feels like they were called to do this in some way, shape, or form. Now, I'm making a general statement. There are going to be people who this is not their experience, but many people will say they think it's because something, quote unquote, something's going to happen. I feel like something's going to happen, as if the damage already done to our economy and our society because of the pandemic, regardless of how you feel about it, there's a lot of damage. There are shortages now. There's other issues with supply chain stuff. People aren't showing up for work. There's, you know, it's insane. And every day there's more evidence, as far as I'm concerned, that the people in charge really are struggling. I don't think they know what they're doing. As far as what do you want, inflation or deflation? Do you want a booming economy and inflation, or do you want deflation and a recession? I want deflation and a recession, because that means cheap fuel and it means cheap food. That means I get to keep more of my money. It also means, and if you are RVing, I'm going to make this point because I think it's really important to make it. So if you're RVing, we have seen a growth in the RV market similar to the housing market. And I don't have the charts and I don't have the research to know if they're connected, but I would believe that a fair amount of people are refinancing homes and again using them as ATM machines to buy various types of RVs. I did come across a video, which I did not watch, but I came across a video that was discussing the peaking of the RV quote unquote craze or whatever. And if we have a recession and if the housing market rolls over, then a lot of people who have been refinancing and getting cash out of their house because they either had to because they had balloon payments or they decided that was a good idea because interest rates are low or whatever, well, they're going to have to either go back to work or they're going to have to make a decision as to whether they keep the house and get rid of the RV or vice versa. So I believe that if we have a recession, if we have property value deflation, so a collapse of the real estate market, a collapse of the stock market, and no place else to go, as in cryptocurrencies, bonds, you know, futures contracts, whatever your deal is, if basically there's nowhere to hide except maybe cash, which is one thing or another, there's going to be a lot of business trucks, a lot of RVs, and a lot of other types of vehicles that we use as nomads for sale. And you're going to see quote unquote deflating prices. So when you talk about deflation, disinflation, inflation. So what is disinflation? It is basically it's a temporary slowing down of the pace of price inflation. And in some places we do have disinflation. And it's used, according to definitions, to describe instances when the inflation rate has reduced marginally over the short term. Unlike inflation and deflation, which refer to the direction of prices, disinflation refers to the rate of change in the rate of inflation. So if we are seeing inflation start to come down, then we're seeing disinflation. If we have a recession and prices actually start to come down and reduce, and inflation evaporates into deflation, that is a good thing for people on the road because everything that we consume is cheaper. It's a good thing for everybody personally, I think. But then the problem with deflations and recessions is then jobs dry up. And I don't need to go on and on about macroeconomics, but I believe that I think my thinking is, and I could be wrong, so I'm not trying to tell you that this is what's going to happen. I hate predicting the future. But as I look at out across the landscape, I think that our economy for a long time before the pandemic wasn't growing very, very well. 2-3% growth with an enormous amount of debt and continuing stimulus, both fiscal and policy stimulus. And then we had the pandemic. And again, regardless of how you feel about the pandemic, it has had an impact. It's had an impact in how businesses operate. It's had an impact in businesses that didn't and did survive. It has required an enormous amount of stimulus and life support, which may or may not have been advisable given the situation. And the belief that it was going to be a one-off thing, that we were going to have this, get vaccinated, wear masks, isolate, shut things down, and it was going to be done, unfortunately, has turned out to be wrong. That we're probably going to have to deal with some form of whatever this is for the foreseeable future. And so adjustments have to be made. Now, in terms of long term, I'm very optimistic. But as far as the short term, and I'm going to speak for myself, but as a nomad, to me, a recession and deflation is a great thing, because that enables me to do more with less, and it takes the pressure off food costs, it takes the pressure off fuel costs. So if people are already out doing this permanently, I think it will make our lives easier. As far as the weekend warriors, it depends on whether they borrowed money for the RV or paid cash for it. So when you see these very, very expensive RVs, either these people are very wealthy, and my sense is, why would they come to Quartzsite if they're very wealthy, okay? Why would they come to Parker? Why would they come to these? And I love these towns because they're... Why would they come to, Ehrenberg or Bouse? These are basically windswept, old-style Arizona towns. Somebody here called Quartzsite a shanty town. And, there are obviously many permanent buildings in Quartzsite, but I would wear the term shantytown as a crown if I were Quartzsite, because these are the kinds of places that are legendary in this part of the country, and they are fast disappearing because of all this development and all these resorts being built and all this real estate speculation that's been going on. So I much prefer the shanty towns of southwestern Arizona or the dusty farm towns of Texas, and really the dusty farm towns anywhere in the United States, as opposed to these bougie, resorts that people have created. Havasu was nothing. There was nothing there in 1960. So just simply in 50 years or whatever, it's been turned into, it's a nice place. I mean, and don't get me wrong, but it's been turned into a quote unquote resort. Quartzsite is not a resort. Bouse is not a resort. I don't know what Ehrenberg is. I guess that's over by the border. Blythe is a lot bigger than all of these little towns. I wouldn't call that a resort either. It's not Palm Springs. And that's good. That's a good thing. So, unfortunately, if you are a guy in Quartzsite seeking to develop and the real estate market rolls over or crashes, then you're going to have to wait. And nobody knows how long. So if the market crashes, nobody knows how long it's going to be a bear market. People make money in bear markets, but especially with real estate, it makes development tough because making money in business is not easy. And I think we've been led to believe that it's just all you do is start a business and suddenly you're rich, and it's not that way. No, very few small business people that I know are, you know, they are struggling, and it's a struggle no matter what. It's always a struggle. So depending on what happens, yeah, a recession and a reduction in prices, actual deflation, and deflation below the inflation line and below where, in other words, getting us back down to, you know, 2012 levels in terms of prices would be a wonderful thing. And having people have to sell their RVs and having utility trucks and RVs and all sorts of types of trucks, school buses, whatnot, that we use for sale would be a boon for people that are, doing the nomad thing right now. So we don't, I think we should be rooting for that. And so I don't want people to think I'm pessimistic. I'm not predicting doom and gloom. I think once we get through this period, whatever this period is, we will see a new era of growth built on building blocks that we are unknown to most people right now. I was talking to a friend the other night on the phone, and I said that, you know, I've kept track of my first year of nomading, and now first year in 3 months or so. And, you know, I said it's a great story to tell, but it needs a bookend. It needs a beginning, a middle, and end. And I've often thought that, the story starts on October 1st, 31st, 2020. It's almost hard for me to get the dates. It starts on October 21st, 2020. That's right. See what I mean? We're just we are all in a fog, arriving here in Quartzsite early November was the end of 1 year on the road. And I said, I get the impression that the country that I've seen traveling, I don't think that country is going to be the same country 5 years from now. And I don't know what's ahead. But I think that the uniqueness of the experience and the bookend of the experience is now this denouement, if you will, of the whole bull market and the bull market in real estate and the bull market in automobiles and the bull market and everything and the prices of everything going up, up, up because, quote unquote, the economy is booming. I think it will be, I think that if all that goes south, and these things are cyclical, right? So if we have a recession, then we're obviously going to have to recover. So they're cyclical. So we'll recover at some point, but it might be very severe because of the damage done to the economy by the pandemic that has not been addressed. And I guess I was saying earlier, I didn't finish the thought, we thought it was going to be on and gone. We were going to get through this and then we were going to go back to normal. Well, we're not going back to normal. By almost any measure, we're not going back to normal. And it may even, we haven't finished with the adjustments of not getting back to normal. That's kind of my feeling. And I think that is bullish for nomads to a large degree, both in the vehicles that we use and the cost of the trips we take and the places we go and the feelings we get. Yes, we are insulated to a large degree from the crazy stress that goes on back in the world. But and we have insulated ourselves and protected ourselves to a certain degree from the inflation because we don't use heating oil and we don't use electricity because we use solar or we run our trucks or whatever. But we do use fuel and we do eat. So those are the only areas that we've been exposed to inflation. And those are our cost centers. So if the prices go down substantially, we're going to be very happy. So the road ahead gets me kind of excited to roll out of here and hit the road again. And when I get ready to go, I'll let you guys know where I'm headed, and then we'll be doing podcasts on the road again. You know, I've said this a couple times. I'm going to keep saying it because I was actually surprised. So, and I'll get the guy's name, but there's a futurist who has been talking, and this is very complicated. I don't have the time to get into it. But if you look at demographic trends, if you look at the situation with shipping costs and all of the damage in terms of world logistics because of the pandemic, the long-term trend is to manufacturing in the United States and Canada and Mexico for North American and South American, for the Americas consumption. So if you are somebody that's manufacturing in China, then you are probably waiting for your products and they're on a container somewhere, and good luck to you. If you manufactured in the United States, you would have that stuff because it's just a matter of getting it on a truck. That in itself is an issue, but it's a matter of getting it on the truck. If you're looking at American manufacturing, look no further than Depot Star, the American manufacturer with the inventor's heart, American engineering and manufacturing, Depot Star. Check them out online at depotstar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR, depotstar.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, I've made a lot of jokes about how all we talk about is batteries and toilets out here and tires and things like that. And we do. And we love talking about rigs. But I think about things more deeply, and I spend a lot of time researching and really thinking about where we're headed socially, because I do think something is going on. I do think there's several cycles coming together at one time, and this is a very different country than it was 5 years ago. We'll see if things return to normal at some point, but if you're a nomad, I think this is one of those conversations you may not be having. And if you're a person who lives back in the world, well, it's probably a conversation you're not having either, because most people through mainstream media have been told, oh, the market goes down and it comes back. Oh, don't worry about the housing market. Real estate never goes down. All of these shibboleths are active, and sometimes they suck people in at the worst times. I can't predict the future because it could all be just fine, you know, but I'm watching this stuff very closely, and I'm obviously I'm very concerned for the future for people in this country, and I don't need to say any more. But I'm also optimistic about my own future when it comes to cheaper fuel, and that's all I really care about, and cheaper peanuts at the store, and cheaper pretzels and water and corned beef hash in a can. What is next on the road? The Bob Davis Podcasts.